Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with entrepreneur and keynote speaker David Hanscom. David and I spoke about personal development, introverts, and mental health, and how to be brave enough to be bad at something new. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now onto my conversation with David. David Hanscom, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on here today.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about all things personal development and how to take the leap towards our goals when we might be standing in our own way. But yeah, let me ask you, what are you excited for our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
Well, I think most importantly is just remembering you're not alone. It's very easy to be isolated sometimes and feel like nobody knows how I'm feeling, but the reality is there's far more people out there that know how we feel than we realize. So that's something that I even constantly remind myself of because I fall into the same trap, and I think that's another thing is just anything I talk about today is probably either reminders or things that I've been through in the past that I've just really learned from.
Wonderful. And yeah, I think that's very true that sometimes we just feel like, oh, I'm this little unique unicorn or a snowflake or whatever, which I mean, we are to an extent, but when it comes to our issues, I think we all face very similar things. So yeah, the other question I have for you is, how did you get to where you are today in terms of your professional life? You are a keynote speaker and entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I thought my life was going to be sports. You can probably tell by my background, I'm a pretty big sports buff. And when I was in high school, I had some really bad injuries with my ankles. I had to actually have reconstructive surgery on both my ankles, first my left, then my right. And that was like between my 11th and 12th grade year was the left ankle, and then after my 12th grade year was the right ankle. And up to that point, I thought sports was going to be everything in my life. I played baseball, basketball. I mean, basically anything that had a uniform, I played it. And at that point, my parents just kind of said, "Well, what else do you like?" And I said, "Well, I'm a class clown and I love music." So I actually got involved in radio coming out of high school and had a lot of fun with that, but quickly realized that there's not too many people that make money in radio. You have to do that for a passion more than anything else. So I said, okay, well, I'll do this as long as I can. But I also knew if I wanted to grow up and actually be an adult, I had to do something else as well. So I got into more of the entertainment field as far as providing entertainment and game shows and team building and things like that for corporate events and social events. And it kind of just guided my and directed me to doing some speaking just as far as like on business building and personal growth and development. And a lot of it is really just about the passion of like, as I said in the beginning, like, I realized like, hey, I'm not alone in this. And if what I've experienced can help one person, then it's worth talking about it. Because for the longest time, I used to say, oh, nobody's going to care what I have to say and nobody's going to, pay attention. And I'll tell you what really changed that was when I would go out, to an event or something like that in public, and a random person would stop me and say, "Hey, I know who you are. I follow you on social media, and I love, whatever that last post was that you did." And the irony of all of that is they didn't like it, they didn't comment on it on the social media channel, but they said something to me in person, and it made me realize that we never really know who's paying attention to who we are, what we are, and what we're doing. And so you probably, you yourself, I'm sure, and as well as your listeners, are probably impacting more people's lives than they ever realize they're doing.
Yeah, I totally relate to that, what you said about thinking like, oh, I'm putting out all this po these posts or that work, and who's even listening? Who even cares about that? I've got zero likes or whatever. And then you get a comment about it a little while later, and you're like, oh, I didn't even know, you were following me or whatever. And it
Right.
is very gratifying, and truly, even if we might not affect one person directly, but maybe that person talks to someone else about what they heard, and then you affect or you have a positive effect on that third grade person or whatever. Like
Right.
I think that's a really, really great reminder. For me personally, my personal development journey started maybe about 8 years ago when I began listening to podcasts. And one of the first podcasts that I listened to, now I think it's called the Tailored Life Podcast. And the person who's running it later became my mentor and boss as
Oh, that's
well.
awesome.
But yeah, anyway, he was the first person kind of getting me into personal development books. And one of the books I really loved is by Robin Sharma, and his book, or this book, was called The Leader Who Had No Title. And I'm sure that that's something that you probably spoke a lot about, this sort of concept of like self-leadership, or even if you don't have a particular title like CEO of or whatever, we're all leaders of our own lives. Or like as a mom, you're a leader to your kids. Kids, as a, whatever else it might be, we are all leaders. And so I'm curious, when you talk about personal development, what are some of the main pillars that you like to get people to focus on or think about, or where do we start when it comes to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost is realizing that the change has to start inward first, right? Like we have to be confident in ourselves. We have to be confident in who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it. And that can be a tough, to put a mirror in front of your face and say, who are you and what do you stand for and what do you believe in? But I think realizing that and understanding that, and then going back to kind of put a bow on what we were just talking about previously that ties into this as well, is I remember when I even first started doing keynote speaking and they asked me, well, how much do you charge? I was like, I don't even know because I'm more excited about hopefully helping one person in the room than I am about getting paid. Now, obviously, that's not a very good business plan, and I had to fix that very quickly, right? But the thing was is that I was genuinely like saying, hey, this is stuff that I've been through. This is stuff that I've experienced. So I am sharing me with you to hope that maybe you can see you in yourself. And so I think that that's like key number one is that. And number two is just being willing to know where your shortcomings are and embrace them. Like we always embrace well, some people, a lot of people, I think, will embrace the good things about themselves, but we're so challenged with the things that we consider shortcomings or things that we say, oh, that person over there is better at that than I am, or I could never do what they're doing. And just imagine if we all did that, nobody would ever do anything. And so I think it's just important to embrace the fact that just because something feels scary, feels intimidating, feels like something you can never do, doesn't mean you should just assume that you're incapable of doing it. I never thought that I would be able to get up in front of a group of people and talk, and now it's one of my favorite things to do. So you just have to be willing to sometimes stretch that ability of what you think you're capable of doing and have it's great that you have a mentor. I think that would probably be my third one is having that mentor, having somebody that you can go to talk about those things, celebrate the wins, but also discuss the things that are challenges and how can you overcome them. And finding a mentor, to me, the most important thing about finding a mentor is finding somebody who is going to be honest with you, not tell you what you want to hear. This is why I always say, don't get a spouse, don't get a best friend, don't get a brother or sister. Like, go to somebody and give them permission, like verbally give them permission. I give you permission to call me out on something when I need to be called out on. I don't want you to just agree with me all the time. I want you to challenge me. And if I'm wrong or if there's a different way for me to look at it, I want you to bring that up. And I think that's vitally important. It's too easy for us to just go rely on our friends telling us or our mom and dad or a spouse or a child or whatever to be like, oh, you're so awesome. You're great. But of course they want to do that. But in the end, that sometimes can be more of a hindrance than it can be a help.
So, yeah, we don't need, I mean, most of us don't need that kind of cheerleader. Sure, every now and then it's good, but our friends tend to do that anyway, so don't, pay your mentor for that or a coach for that. And I think absolutely there is no growth without not pushing outside of our comfort zones. And I think a truly good coach or mentor, they don't have the answers at all. They just point the mirror and like into the corners that you're perhaps afraid to look at into or to explore. And so I think that's a really, and maybe sometimes they give you a little push if you need it.
Yeah, that little nudge helps sometimes for sure.
Exactly, absolutely. So I guess for you personally, I'm curious, what was that experience then when you were first on stage and like most likely out of your comfort zone, and that
Yeah.
since you had never done it, basically most things that we have never done before, we kind of feel like it's outside of our comfort zone. But what gave you the nudge to just take the leap in this situation?
Yeah, so funny enough, that actually started in my entertainment career when I started getting into doing some like corporate event things. And I'll never forget, I was doing this. It was me and a couple people that came with me to help with this event that we were doing. And my only job for that event, at least I thought, was to just play music, kind of play background music, maybe make a few announcements, which I was comfortable with doing that from my radio background. I figured, it's a group of people that are networking and socializing and having lunch, and they're not paying attention to me. So, kind of that lie I'm telling myself, nobody's going to see me kind of a thing. So, I was fine with that. Well, the staff from the venue came to us. We were kind of like behind the stage, and they came to us and said, "Hey, listen, we really need you to do us a solid because we're having some sort of a challenge with the food, and it's going to take probably an extra 15 or 20 minutes. Is there anything you could do to occupy the time of the people so that it will go by fast, hopefully, and they won't notice that we're running a little bit late?" And I was like, oh my gosh, this is getting real now. So for a split second, I had all of the things I think everybody has, the sweaty palms, all of a sudden your adrenaline is going and the nerves are there. And I just said, you know what? These people paid me to do a job. They didn't pay me to just get by. They didn't pay me to just do the bare minimum. If this is what's required of me, then I'm going to go do it. So it was almost kind of like a firing squad. It was like, go do it and you've got to get it done. And so that was, I'll never forget that experience. It was honestly probably more than 20 years ago that that happened. And then when I moved into, I'll never forget the first keynote presentation that I did. I told people that, and I firmly believe this. I said, I think I really just blacked out for the last hour and a half. Don't ask me to tell you anything I just said because I was going strictly from the heart and from this is
Amazing.
not practice. This is not studied. This is just, the only way I'm going to be able to do this is just to give you the raw version of me. I probably use some language I probably shouldn't have because sometimes when I get animated, I do that. But it was just really. That the feeling afterwards when people say, "Hey man, thank you so much for this, thank you." When you don't think that's the weird thing, when you don't think you've made an impact and then instantly somebody comes to you and says you have, it's amazing. And it's like this adrenaline of like, I want to do it again and I want to do it again. And those nerves tend to go away a little bit more, but I'm still by nature a very introverted person. So in some ways, and I don't like saying that, don't always like saying it this way because I think it can get confusing. But in some ways, I almost feel like I'm having to play a role because I'm getting in this uncomfort zone of like, I really feel weird because all of these eyeballs are on me right now. And, as much as I've done it, I'm still guilty of that situation that some people are guilty of where like there could be 1,000 people in the room and 990 of them are gripping in every word you're saying, and there's one person sitting there picking their nose and making fun of you, and somehow we see that person, right? And then it just throws you for a loop. And I'm still guilty of that sometimes, but I think that just when you are confident about what you're doing and you've taken the time to prepare yourself, and that was something I had to learn because I mentioned that first keynote that I did, no notes, no prep, no slide deck, no nothing, just me, microphone, talk. And I have learned that I do have to be a little bit more prepared for certain things that I do talk about because of the expectations that are there. So those are steps and levels that I think you just go to, but yeah, that I'll never forget that experience. That was crazy.
So many thoughts. So I do think, like when we are good performers or coaches or mentors, it really is more like something is speaking through us, and I think
Yeah, that's so great way to say it.
that's why we're like sometimes having those blank moments, or you could also say like you were in flow state, so you can like net fully retrace your steps. But it's not necessarily just your wisdom that's being spoken; it is like something that's coming through you when it's really landing. I do think that that's the case. And to the point of preparation, I was actually just listening to a podcast with I think it's a Stanford professor who is focusing on communication, Matthew Abrams, I believe. And he was saying that as a speaker or anybody teaching something, we can also think of ourselves a little bit like a tour guide. Like when we, well, you know, you take people through something, you entertain them a little bit, but you educate them, you pick them up in the beginning, you drop them off. So you do have to have somewhat of a structure, some maybe bullet points or things that you really want to get across, especially if you're working for corporate organizations, etc. But in general, it shouldn't be like a just rehearse thing where you're standing there with your book and you're like, you're gonna put people asleep with that. So yeah, no, I think that's really great of you to share that experience. And like with anything, it comes down to reps. You get more confident, and I'm sure like the more your audience grows or the more things are at stake or at least perceived, we are gonna be more nervous. I think that's just like the more you care, the more nervous you're gonna be. It's just the way that things are, and that's actually quite cool.
Yeah, and if I can add just a quick
Yeah,
little story
please.
as well. Just last night is a perfect example. I'm part of an organization called MPI, is Meeting Professionals International, and we had our end of the year gala and awards ceremony last night, and we have like this silent auction component. And I just kind of jokingly said, "Hey, I think we should do a live auction, and I'll volunteer to be the person to do it." And everybody was like, "Nah, there's no way." And one of the people was like, I bet you couldn't get anybody to buy a stapler." I said, "Okay, well, hold my water. Let's see what happens." So we got through the night and we got to the end of the night, and I said, "Okay, we're going to do this quick. It's going to be very quick. I got a couple of items. We're going to do this live auction right now. It's cash or Venmo only, so we're not going to be able to take your credit card. This is all just a little bit of extra money to donate to the organization for all the things that the organization does." And the point that I want to make is that at the very beginning of me doing that, I did still 20 plus years later have that fear of like, what if this bombs? What if nobody does anything? What if nobody donates any money? Like, I'm going to feel like a real idiot. But I'm happy to say that it actually went really well. I sold a roll of half-used scotch tape for about $50. I sold a pink stapler that I claimed was from the Pink Pony Club for like $100. It was the craziest thing. And it was like, I think people just got caught up in the fun of it. And it was just the reminder of like, no, you're not buying a $100 stapler. You're donating $100 to this great organization that does awesome things in the community. And so that is, it's just listening to you say that and just thinking about how that's a risk that I took all these years later, that, hey, I was scared to go into it, but I was like, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, I'm amongst people that know me. They know I'm kind of a goofball and do silly things like that. But taking that chance added a lot more money to to help the cause. So I was glad I did it. But nevertheless, I was definitely nervous going into the experience.
I bet, but I do think like, or what comes to my mind hearing this is also that if we have a strong why, a strong reason for change, to take a leap, whatever, it is just so helpful in any situation. And so I was going to ask you anyway, if people listening here, they might have goals or have had goals for a while and they're just not pulling the trigger on it, or maybe starting and then stopping, or letting perfectionism stand in their way, whatever it might be. I've seen I did a little bit of research in terms of your content, obviously. And I saw you speak about creating your dream life. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there you mentioned a few components which I thought were just brilliant, and I'd love to go a little bit into them. So, from what I saw is that you wrote, okay, in order to create your dream life, we need to first find alignment of like our goals, our visions aligned with the actions we plan to take, and then of course take, and then we need to just take the leap, because the confidence is going to build through the actions, and we can't just be confident and motivated all the time or expect to be. It's going to build, and then we need to be consistent with what we're doing, and then the result is going to be the dream life. Did I kind of get that right when I was looking
That was really good. Yeah.
at
That's
well
pretty
and
spot on.
Let's kind of go through the various components. So, firstly, how do we find alignment? I mean, it's such a big word that's being thrown around. And how do we, yeah.
Well, I think that a lot of times, the advent of social media is good and bad, right? In the sense that With social media, first of all, we have to remember, and to some extent, I would even say myself included, although I've really been thinking about, and I'll try not to veer too far to the left here for a second, but we all really just put the best highlights of our lives or our careers or anything like that on social media. Very rarely do we expose the raw challenges and the hard times. And now there's some people that do that, and most people either block those folks or they're like, oh yeah, that's just so and so, complaining again or whatever. But I think that it's important for us to remember the other part of that is that it also really created this kind of like unrealistic hustle culture. And everybody was like, hustle, hashtag hustle, and hashtag girl boss, or hashtag, boss man, or whatever these types of things. And we are allowing an external entity and people that we don't even know in some ways to motivate us to become something we think we can become, but we don't really understand the foundation that's required to first be built to even do that in the first place. You think about I think about the music scene, and people always say, oh, this so and so artist came out of nowhere. And it's like, no artist has ever come out of nowhere. They always have a backstory. They always sang in some podunk place with seven people there, maybe three people there at some point in time in their career. They didn't just show up one night and 10,000 people were, came to listen to them sing. And I think it's important. See, I think that social media allowed us to get away from that truth because we were so easily able to expose just the good and leave the bad away, right? So I think that it's important to understand that instead of having a hustle culture, we need to have an alignment culture. What am I able to be aligned with that if I don't get paid any money, if nobody ever tells me I did a good job, if I don't make any advancement in my career, I'm still willing to do this because I believe in what I'm doing that much. That to me is when you have alignment, when you've removed all those external reasons for doing what you're doing. You're doing it because it's truly something that you are going to be equally as passionate about a year from now than you are right now today when you say this is what you want to do.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I think as a nutrition coach, I see quite often that people think or say, I want to be shredded or I want to be this and that weight. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you that you're so clear on your goal. Let's talk about why. To your point of like, would I still want this if no one saw it, if no one knew about it, if no one would tell me good job? Honestly, many people, even throughout the journey, when initially they said, no, I really do want that. But then a few weeks into it, they're like, Lisa, I have to admit, actually, I rather want my weekly cheesecake and wine with the dinner with my husband than I want to be super shredded because nobody really sees it anyway. And I actually feel really great in my body. And I'm like, that's amazing. Let's just applaud that because not everybody needs to have a six pack. If this is not something that's actually important to you, you just hear a gazillion influencers say, like, oh, I'm 50 and I still have a six pack or whatever it might be. So, yeah, truly thinking about is this what we want or is this what the society, what our parents, what social media wants us to think that we want. So, okay, we've got alignment. Now let's go to the second part, which is what I mentioned earlier, where a lot of people might be struggling with perfectionism or just procrastination, which I guess is just another form of perfectionism as well. So, how do we actually take the leap now that we're clear on what we want?
Yeah, so I think one of my favorite terms in reference to that is done is better than perfect. And I think we've all heard that before. Doing something is better than doing it perfect. And I'm telling you, again, here I am still doing talking and preaching and trying to encourage people in all of this, but I still sometimes will look at a post and say, oh, is it lined up just right? Like we're all guilty of that. But you've got to realize that you mentioned this earlier, and it's so important. Reps. You've got to get the reps in. You're never going to really grow if you don't make mistakes. This is what I think is really cool about what you see. What I love when you see parents who allow their kids to make mistakes. Now, obviously, there's limits to that, but allowing your child to make a mistake so that there's a lesson to be learned. Same thing with us. When we want to move into a new career or we want to take on bodybuilding or something like that. It's okay to stumble. It's okay to fall. And actually, I think it's almost better to do that sooner than to not do that. So it's almost like race to the fall, or like, they say in sales a lot, race to the no. How fast can you get to the no? Because the faster you get to the no is actually the faster you're going to get to a yes. So this is a lot in the similar philosophy of like, just getting going is going to get you to the place to realize now I have more data. Now I have more information. Now I know that if I took two steps this way, that really worked well. But if I take two steps that way, that didn't work as well. So I'm not going that way anymore. That's not really failure. That's actually growth. That's actually realizing now I know what doesn't work, but I do know what does work. But if I don't ever take that, I don't know.
100%, and you basically just said it, but I love this quote, which basically just says we're not going through stuff, we're growing through stuff. So in my
Yes.
opinion, I try to like actually reframe clients' mindset when they are experiencing like a setback or an obstacle. I'm like, this is amazing. This was just your growth to the next level. You have just kind of broken a barrier from your comfort zone. Now you've reached the next level. We need to have this. I saw this as a perfect example with the pandemic. Many people took that as an opportunity to, oh, I'm going to lose weight because I'm just stuck at home anyway. I can't order, or like I'm not going to eat out. I don't have any social engagements, blah, blah, blah. Lost a ton of weight, did really well. Things opened back up, then they got out to restaurants and so on again, and they had no idea how to navigate that, put all the weight back on, sometimes even more. Because, yeah, if all life circumstances are just brilliant, you can do all your meal prepped things and have nobody even tempting you with anything, things are easy. But you're not gonna get that growth from it, that experience from it, where you're like proving to yourself you can't say no to the cheesecake if it's in front of you, or if your friends are peer pressuring you to have another slice of pizza, you can say no, I'm gonna stick with my steak because I want to, right? So I think absolutely you're totally right, and I think that leads to the next point, which I took from your content, and that was, this is creating the confidence that we need in order to keep going, or the consistency of the confidence that leads to the consistency. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, you mentioned books earlier, and one of the books that I really like a lot is written by Darren Hardy. Is the well, the compound effect. Sorry, lost it for a second. The compound effect, and I try to. I'm so glad that he created that book because I try to apply that to everything. I try to encourage everybody to apply that to everything, and understanding that true growth also requires sustainability. I mentioned it again, earlier, foundation, building a solid foundation. Think about it. Think about like if you were building a staircase, you would want to make sure before you took that next step up that you build a solid foundation to step on and you weren't going to fall, right? But if you just try to haphazardly put some, ladder together because you think it's a race to get to the top, the chances are you're going to end up falling anyways, and then you're going to be further behind than you were in the first place, instead of just incrementally, or as Darren says, compounding that growth over time. Even if it's 1%, even if you're 1% better tomorrow than you were today, if you stretched out over a 30-day time period or over a year time period, and that 1% keeps compounding, it doesn't just mean you're 1% every day better. It's astronomically better at the end of that. But the pain arguably is a little bit less also, which also probably encourage you to do a little bit more. So I think there's multiple benefits from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that book, and the whole thing just reminds me of that Japanese principle of Kaizen, which is basically, yeah, 1% better every day, or with everything. And I think sometimes we think that that means going from 31 to 32 to 30, whatever. And but it doesn't, because some days you only have 60% of your energy to spend. You're just not feeling good. But even if you give those 60%, you gave it your all, right? And so we are sometimes really too harsh on ourselves when it comes to that. But I do like that framework, and I hope that the listeners are taking everything away from this four part step basically. So in order to create our dream life, we want to find alignment first. We want to just take the leap, because done is better than perfect, and that's going to just build the confidence in order to be consistent, and obviously that only with consistency we're going to get to our goals, and then evolving from there. I want to shift gears just a little bit, because You mentioned something earlier, and that was that you're by nature a little bit more introverted, and that resonates a lot with me. And I think actually a lot of content creators or just influencers are actually by nature more introverted, and most people wouldn't think so because they have a switch. And that's the other thing I actually wanted to mention earlier when you were talking about your stage performance. Another great book I have read is called Alter Ego. I forget by who is by, but pretty much that when we are wanting to perform, because it's actually good to have an alter ego, you know, when I'm like, oh, I'm gonna put on my podcasting Lisa hat now. I'm a different person when I'm talking to you than if I'm talking to my best friend from high school or something like that. And I'm probably different again if I'm talking to my mom or so. So anyway, it's actually good to develop this sort of like switch where I can be bubbly, but normally I try to steer away from giving myself that label of like I'm an introvert, because I've noticed that in the past I use that as an excuse when people might invite me to like a party. I'm like, oh no, I don't like to go to big social events. I'm an introvert. And now I just rather say like I recharge when I'm on my own. So that's just my nature, and I find too many social interactions more draining rather than being recharged by them. But I know that this is a topic that you talk about also, like how do we as more introverted people maintain our mental health, especially if we're public facing or if we are giving speeches and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think the first thing to the first step, which is a step I wish I would have known sooner, is it's kind of like when you have, not that being an introvert is a problem, but when you have any kind of a problem, the best step you can take is admitting that you have that problem, right? So being introverted, that to me, I felt, and again, this is internally, the best thing I found was when I was willing to admit, not just to myself, but to others, that yes, I do have these introverted tendencies. And it came about for me because I noticed that when I get overwhelmed and when I get to my limit where I just need to get away, if I'm still in a social setting, I tend to get very quiet. I tend to have this look on my face that people have told me in the past, I look like I'm mad or I look like I'm angry or whatever. And usually I'm just really like in thought, or and to be honest with you, a lot of times I'm probably saying I can't wait to get out of here. And not that it has anything to do with anybody in the room, right? But it's just all to do with me and nothing to do with them, right? And so I think that the reason why I think it's important to admit that to yourself is because if you can share that with other people, two things happen. Number one, there's guaranteed, just like you said, to be somebody else in that situation that feels the exact same the way that says, oh, you just took a weight off of me because now I know I'm not the only one. But secondly, the other people in the room know how to maybe manage their interaction with you because it is a dance that we all do. I got to be respectful of how you treat me, and I trust that you'll be respectful of how, I'm best treated. But if you don't know that about me, then how could I ever expect you to be that way? So this is something that I wish I would have learned a long time ago, but nevertheless, I finally did. And hopefully somebody listening, will learn that now, maybe about themselves, and just say, hey, it's okay. Like scream to the top of the lungs if you have to. I'm an introvert. That's okay. You've got it out of you, right? But then once you've done that, then you can take steps to say, okay, how can I put myself in situations where I can incrementally get myself feeling a little bit better? And some of the ways that that's worked for me is finding some of my friends that are a little bit more extroverted and having a little bit more of an intimate conversation with them and saying, hey, listen, I know I need to do this. I know for my career, I know for myself, I know that I need to do this. Can you just look out for me a little bit in this setting? Can you maybe introduce me to a few people? Or if you notice me getting a little quiet, can you kind of cover for me a little bit or so, something like that? And I think it's super helpful. And over time, because really the only reason why we're acting that way is because we just don't feel comfortable yet. A lot of times it's because maybe we don't know the people in the room or we're around people. Like I love putting myself in a room of everybody where I'm like, I am nowhere close to these people. And what I mean by that is like in their career or their financial status or whatever. Like I ascend to be like these people. That's a very tough room to put yourself in. but it's a great room to put yourself in if you want to grow, because you're forced to grow and you're forced to come out of your shell a little bit. But you got to do it at the right timing. You know, again, it's not the rabbit, it's the turtle. The turtle is going to win that race too. You've got to incrementally do it, but you've got to start doing it first. The first step is the hardest step. Every other step after that is so much easier.
I absolutely love everything that you just said. I used to question myself for a long time as a teenager and even early into my 20s when I was like, what's wrong with me? Because I honestly, like, I saw other people just craving that amount of social interaction or being bubbly and not being drained after so and so many hours with other people. And I was like, what is wrong with me? And once you're like, no, this is just how you tick. That's absolutely fine. It allowed me to establish some boundaries. So, for example, now I just know like what time I need to be in bed because after a certain hour, I can honestly not, I don't want to socialize anymore. Let me put it that way. Or I'm just, you know, not planning too many social interactions in one day and just being like, no, two things on my calendar is probably max in a day that I want to have. So I know my own limits. But exactly to your point, we do want to gradually push out of that because if I, you know, have the goal of eventually standing on a stage in front of so and so many people, I can't just go from being overwhelmed by one coffee house visit a day to standing on a stage with several thousand of people. It just, yeah, it doesn't work that way. So I really like that and just taking those little steps. And for me, something again, like practically, I like to leave people more with practical things. For me, practically, my breath is really, really helpful. So again, like even in those situations where the thought pops up of like, how many more minutes do I have to sit here? First of all, like acknowledging that and being like, no, Lisa, you wanted to be here. You purposefully placed yourself here in order to grow. Okay, you're here to grow. Now just like focus on breathing or maybe focus on one conversation because I get overwhelmed quite easily if there's too many things going on or like sensory overload and I can't follow one single conversation. I'm like, okay, just turn to, you know, maybe this person sitting next to you and only listen to this conversation and try to make a few good comments. And if in half an hour you still feel really agitated, maybe go to the bathroom, come back, like things like this where you're just focusing on your breath or tunneling your focus on one thing where you know that's not going to be too overwhelming. I found that quite helpful. And again, also being, I guess, forgiving with ourselves. So if after that bathroom, hypothetical, a bathroom visit, I still feel super anxious, I'm like, it's okay. You tried. You can go home now. Nothing's gonna, you know, nobody's gonna be at home and really super disappointed in you and yelling at you or something like that. Yeah. Do you have
Well,
any
I think
other?
another practical step I think that could be helpful too is and with my entertainment company, I talk about this a lot with the guys that work for our company when they're going to do events and things like this. And I think this is very applicable in this situation as well, is that it's okay. You drive to wherever you're going, you park your car, don't just jump right out of your car. Sit there for a second and really set the intention of why you're there and tell yourself, this is why I'm here. I acknowledge the fact that I might be a little nervous, I might be a little anxious, but God, the universe, whatever it is you believe in, just say, hey, give me the strength to try to be a little bit better this time than I was last time. And it's amazing. And a little bit differently, what I tell the guys on my entertainment staff is that when you're there to do an event, you were hired to create an environment that's fun, that's engaging, that takes people out of their normal lives, that gives them a couple of hours of just socialization and fun. So whatever is going on in your life prior to that, you've got to leave that in the car. And you've got to be able to set that down. Know it's going to be there when you get back. That's fine. That's no problem with that. It's going to be there when you get back, but you don't need to bring that into this situation. So it's kind of the same thing. Like whatever is going on outside of that situation you're about to walk in, intentionally set your intentions. That sounds a little redundant, but set your intentions so that you are just taking that pause to go from here to here, and now I'm ready to go.
That's awesome. I love that. I think, I mean, we can probably relate to that when we think of having a stressful day at work and you're not going to take that into your house with your 5-year-old kids and then yell at them or whatever, hopefully not anyway. But you know,
Well,
you're
but
gonna.
think how many times we probably do that because we don't even just take this split second. And that's all it is. Like, it doesn't have to be like a 10-minute conversation with yourself. It's just this quick reframing of your mind, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love all your practical tips. And David, I'd love to hear, aside from doing some keynote speaking or entertainment stuff, what else do you do? Do you offer mentorship or anything like that? Of course, I will link everything in the show notes, but tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. I mean, I love to do a little bit of coaching with folks and helping people out. I've really you mentioned COVID earlier. I really was one of the early adopters of AI, and I know that's a little bit maybe off the path of kind of your normal audience, but maybe not. It seems like it's falling into everything now. And so I've really embraced that early on, and it's been something that I have found so many different ways of how you can utilize these different forms of AI to help you with so many different things. And there's a lot of talk about it, but the reality is I don't think any of us really know where it's going. But I think as long as we embrace where it is and we embrace the ways it can help us of where we are right now, then we're kind of on the right path. And in one of the small examples that I always talk about is if you think about your phone, you know, whether you have an iPhone or whether you have a Google device, if you go to the App Store on iPhone or you go to the Google Play Store, there are multiple millions of apps on those two stores. But you don't have all of those apps on your phone. The only apps that you have on the phone are the things that are going to help you with business, are going to help you check your email, maybe check your bank account, maybe keep your calendar, maybe you like playing Candy Crush. I don't know, there's some other game, right? But there are things on your phone that help you either professionally or just brainless game playing for a little while, which it's okay for all of us to do that even. And so with AI, I look at that the same way. Like, we don't need AI to solve every single aspect of our life. So when we can find the parts of AI and the tools of AI that solve what I like to call the tactical parts of our life, then we can focus more on the strategic and the creative parts of our life. And that's when it gets exciting, like eliminating those mundane things that just happen over and over and over again, or the, you know, it's just getting that tactical out of the way and really being able to focus on strategic and creative. I love that. So those are a lot of the things that I really have been really diving into and talking about a lot over the last couple of years.
Wonderful. I'm sure that's something that a lot of people can learn or could embrace even better. So, yeah, thank you for sharing all your wisdom with us today. I've truly enjoyed this conversation, and
Yes.
I hope people go and check out your content.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here today.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with David. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go. If you're looking for premium supplements, our partner, Fat Muscle Project, has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.